The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
You're connected to the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Trevor Dan with a special luxury length edition today focusing on UK commercial radio. Coming up, we'll be reporting from this year's Arqiva Awards, and you'll hear from some of the big names in attendance and also from most of the winners. But first, I've been to Radio Centre on New Oxford Street in London to talk to CEO Siobhan Kenny. I wanted to know about the reorganisation and rebranding, which has put the former Radio Advertising Bureau and the Radio Advertising Clearance Centre under that Radio Centre umbrella. And also, I wanted to explore their new policy document, which very clearly lays out what commercial radio wants from government, from the regulator, and from the BBC. After a distinguished career in government comms and in publishing, Siobhan's been in this job for a year or so now, and after, I think it would be fair to say, a slightly shaky performance at the 2014 Radio Festival, she's been hard at work gobbling up the Radio Centre brief, just like the Pac-Man that her new logo resembles.
Well, obviously, I wouldn't agree with the fact that I was struggling in any way, shape or form, Trevor, but I think what I said is that it's a complex picture out there, all right. You know, one of the things that attracted me to the world of commercial radio was the breadth of offerings. So from the very big companies, we both know very well, Global and Bauer, to lots of, some of our members are really very small, and I like that variety in a role. So I think it's taken me a while to get round and meet all the players, and I wanted to make sure that I developed a coherent enough strategy for our organisation before we went public with it, and I'm confident that we've got there now.
Well, this new document of yours, Radio Connecting Past and Future, sound commercial sense, you say, suggests that you have completely got it tamped down. You know what this job is about. And Radio Centre has now been rebranded. You've taken on the RAB and the RAC. So what's the point of that?
I think the thinking behind it was that certainly when I came as a newcomer, it seemed slightly confusing to me that there were three different brands within an organisation that's only got 20 people in it. We had three different Twitter feeds, three different websites. And, you know, the world is complicated enough, I think, without making it even more so. So I like things to be quite simple and clear. We worked very hard, I think, to look at what is the RAB, I think, was the brand that had the most public resonance, certainly within the advertising community. So we needed to make sure that we could take the message to them that it's about a new strategy, but it's also about bringing together three pieces of a connected puzzle that in the world we're in today, I think everything is so interconnected, it seems odd to be saying, we've got the RAB that do advertising, we've got the RACC that look at copy clearance, because if you look at one of our major priorities is to tackle terms and conditions, those crazy garbled messages that you hear at the end of radio adverts. And of course, that speaks to every part of our organisation. So that's a perfect way to say, if we're talking to government, if we're talking to regulators, it's about our advertising, it's about copy clearance, and it's also about our policy side. So I think it absolutely makes sense to bring them all together.
I want to pick out a few components of the document. Let's start with the BBC, which of course has got some battles of its own to fight right now. How do you feel about the BBC? You say that you want it to do more public service, more distinctive programme than it does. Are you really just saying, would they kindly get off your turf and stop competing with you?
Yeah, well, I think that's an obvious and crude characterisation, which that's not what we're about at all. I think I personally say I'm a very big fan of the BBC, especially BBC Radio, because I think its offering across the piece is extraordinary. And having lived in other parts of the globe, you certainly don't get that in many other parts of the world. I would come on to the fact that you know, we work all the time with our friends over at the BBC. Of course we do. We're looking at doing some joint research together because I think it's absolutely in our common interest to make sure that young people kind of get the radio habits, because if they don't, then what will happen to all of us in the future? So I think it's very interesting to look at how young people are listening, because they certainly are. But if you ask them, do you listen to the radio? They might not say yes because they listen to it through their phone or through other different devices. So I think that's very important, that we make common cause together for the good of the industry. And of course, there's one part of our equation which I think that people know very well, that it's radios one and two that slightly bother us a bit, stepping on the toes of the commercial sector. In other words, just really replicating what's already available.
Well, you say it's insufficiently distinctive. That's the words that you use about radio one and two. What would you have them do? I mean, if Bob Shenham was here, what would you say, I really need you to do, Bob?
I'm really sure that Bob's hanging on my every word to hear what I have to say.
You'd
about
be surprised.
What his programming should be. But I think the Jeremy Vine show is fantastic. I think Simon Mayo is fantastic. And there you do get an offering that you probably wouldn't get anywhere else in the commercial sector, or anywhere in the commercial sector, I should say. So I'd love to see more of that. I'd love to see more of perhaps new music, archive music. You know, the BBC has got the world's most fantastic archive. You know, and for a 1980s girl like me, I'd love to hear a lot more of that sort of thing, as well as all the new music too. So I think instead of... Sometimes it seems to me that the playlists are kind of indistinguishable. During peak hours, absolutely accept that they do lots of things outside peak hours. But I think there's enough of an audience out there, frankly, that they wouldn't need to see their numbers dropping off, but they just offer something different.
You talk about commercial radio's own public service, and you say that across the piece, the public value output, as you call it, is 10 hours or so a week. That's not very much of all.
Oh, no, but that's 10 hours per station. It's 3,000 hours per week.
Yes, but it's still not much, is it, in a week?
Well, I don't know. I think that's pretty impressive, to be honest with you, Trevor. I mean, when you look at the... Why do people connect with their local radio station? What actually drives them to listen? And it's overwhelmingly local information. It's stuff... It's a bit of banter, stuff you wouldn't get anywhere else, but it's quite specific to
them. Well, now, I'm going to stop you there, if I may, and say, OK, I buy that. I think a lot of people do love local in local radio. But, of course, over the past few years, we've seen more consolidation. You talk in your document about local news doesn't have to come from the locality. Local programming certainly doesn't. Is the direction of travel simply towards more and more national brands?
Well, I think that we live in a world, don't we, of increasing complexity. And it seems to me there's absolutely room for both. So we've got the bigger national brands and they can deliver things that the smaller operators would not be able to. But I think both of those live very comfortably together. We've had, as you say, lots of consolidation and we've probably kind of reached the limit of that now. Well, I think we definitely have. And I think you'll see all sorts of different things happening. So I'm not uncomfortable with that. I think that both of those coexist and give the public an offering that they don't get elsewhere. You know.
Would you like to see Ofcom stop having the requirement for local programming on some stations so that in a sense you would have your Capitals or your Hearts or your Kisses or whatever that are simply national brands and then you would have a tier below of very local or very regional programming?
I think it's certainly that's a discussion that we've had with Ofcom, and obviously the new Sharon White is very new there, and I think she's bringing in lots of fresh thinking, which is great. So yeah, I look forward to that. I think there's many ways you can cut this pie, but I think you've always got to make sure that you've got the consumer right at your heart, because as all radio operators know, unless they're broadcasting something that people want, they won't be in business for very long.
What do you think of community radio? Because it seems to me that as the bigger national brands cede territory in terms of local coverage, community radio has got an opportunity to grow into that. Well, some of your predecessors weren't very keen on community radio being licensed at all. I just wonder how you think of them now.
For me, I think community radio is an important part of the broadcasting ecology. I think they do something completely different. So, yeah, I mean, I know some of our members, I think, would not be keen on seeing a vast expansion of community radio. But it seems to me that there's enough room for everybody to coexist, because if there's one thing that we know at the moment, more than anything else that new technology has taught us, is that people are desperate for all sorts of different kind of content. So it doesn't mean that, oh, that's it, you've saturated the marketplace, we can all close down. What it means is that if you've got people providing things that are new and interesting and engaging, there will be an audience.
You talked about your members. In the past, you've lost one or two before your day.
I haven't.
Are you working to try to get UTV, UKRD back in the fold?
I think, listen, any trade body wants to represent 100% of the industry. Of course we do. Now, we do represent over 90%. Yeah, it's a long-term ambition of mine, and both Scott and William are very aware of that, to get them both back in the fold.
So you are talking to them?
I went to see them. Probably they're among the first people I went to see when I started at Radio Centre, because you've got to look at it from the other point of view. You've got to look at it from an advertiser's point of view, from the government regulator's point of view. And if they come to us as a representative of the industry, what they want to see is the biggest, broadest representation, because then they only have one conversation instead of two or three.
One thing that William certainly be very pleased about is that you're now saying that you can see FM continuing, that you're not, as an organisation, in favour of reaching for that switch-off date, which was so important for so long. Do you think we're on a twin-track route now?
I think a lot of the sting has gone out of that argument. It seemed to me that, watching from the sidelines over the last few years, I think people could have run away with the idea that DAB was the only game in town, that was the only issue that affected all of radio, and it seemed to affect them quite badly because people had such different views. I think as the world has moved on quite a lot and we're looking at all sorts of different ways of consuming audio content, yes, there are a lot of people, and of course the government has said that yes, we're moving towards a date when DAB becomes the principal method, but you know, FM is still going to be around for some time to come. So as an industry body, I don't think it was our place to say, you know, right, everyone must go for it, because it's our job to also represent all of our members. So that's why I think, you know, you'll find us hedging our bets slightly, but that's the right thing for us to be doing, I firmly believe.
You mentioned Ofcom. What would you like Ofcom to do? You've got a fairy godmother there. What do you want Sharon to say you can do now that you can't because of regulation?
Well, I suppose we've asked for two things, really, because, again, coming to this quite fresh and having been at DCMS at the time when we were pushing towards television switchover, is there's some anomalies in the way radio is regulated, in that, you know, there are obviously some of the regulations still comes from a pre-internet era. So I think we're probably at a time where we need to look across the piece to say, if we're going to be sensible regulators, sensible government, if you want to say, how can we regulate this industry so that into the next 10 years, 20 years, it has an opportunity to compete with all the new entrants and it's not held back, then now I think is a time to, let's get an external person to really look across the piece and to do a bit of future gazing as well. I think that would be a great thing.
Because the rules were set in another age, were they not?
That's the point, you know, in another age where, it's easy to be frivolous, but if you look at some of the classifications of music, the format classifications, they don't really make much sense. We asked consumers and they had no idea what was the difference between these different contemporary and adult. Now, I know that they're working towards simplifying them, and they have done some work on that just now, but it doesn't feel very appropriate to me, to an age where you've got Spotify and all that, that radio operators, radio licenses are kind of defined in this way. So I think wouldn't that be great to get somebody to look across the piece and go, okay, what is the correct form of regulation for this industry into the next 10 years?
You mentioned earlier that you want Ofcom to allow you to get rid of those ridiculous fast-talking T's and C's at the end of the ads. What are advertisers saying to you about radio stations when you meet them? Are they embracing radio, or do they hint that it might be a bit old-fashioned?
Well, I think we're in a series. First of all, I should say it's not Ofcom who set the regulations for T's and C's. It actually comes from Europe, and it's the European Consumer Credit Directive. So I think you should wish us luck trying to change regulation in Europe, because I gather it doesn't happen overnight. But unless you start somewhere, then nothing's ever going to happen. And it's it's come down to regulation by the FCA in the UK. So there's a kind of twin-track approach there. So my assessment of going in to see lots of people in the advertising world when I first started, and in agencies, is there's a great fondness for radio. Great fondness for radio. They really love it. But it doesn't seem to translate all the time into spending lots of money on this medium. And I think it's because we're in a slightly odd place at the moment, in that people are making big decisions are often didn't grow up as digital natives. And in a way, they're kind of overcompensating by spending all their money on Facebook, which, I mean, clearly we've done so much research that says, you know, if ever there was a digital medium, it's, of course, radio. You know, it operates across all sorts of platforms. So I think we need to just carry on making those arguments and proving really well that audio will continue to be massively relevant. You know,
well, are we clever enough, do you think, at the kind of offers we make to the agencies?
Maybe we're not.
Or are we stuck in that rut of, well, it's spot ads, or maybe you can have a bit of sponsorship?
Well, I think if you look at the research the RAB have been doing over the last umpteen years, they're always making the case for the strategic use of radio, that it's fantastic for brand building. Of course, it's great for that tactical spot ads you've been talking about, you know, today, go, you know, get your money off a Lidl today. But, you know, that you can massively amplify your brand by using it in both ways too. And the kind of organisations that do have done very well is the truth.
So are you, after your first year or so in office, are you now optimistic about the future of UK commercial radio?
Listen, I'm a massive optimist anyway, and I probably wouldn't have taken the job if I wasn't. So, yes, I am very optimistic about it, because I think people really care. They really, really care about what's on the radio. I think consumers still do, even those elusive young people we've been talking about. So, yes, I think there'll be some form of successor of mine sitting here in 20 years' time. You know, I'm very confident about that.
Siobhan Kenny, thank you for being so frank and candid. We'll have some news now with Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Thank you, Trevor. The latest radio news this week. Bauer Media is replacing Planet Rock in the West Midlands with Absolute Radio. Planet Rock has been on 105.2 MHz FM for the last 2 years, but has seen almost 100,000 listeners leave since the switch from Kerrang Radio. The change takes place on September 7 in time for the new radar quarter. Christian O'Connell, the OC, has won gold, and LBC has won Station of the Year at the Arquivas this year. See radiotoday.co.uk for a full list of winners, along with video highlights just uploaded. And the BBC iPlayer for Radio now allows us to download radio programmes to our devices and keep them for 30 days. What a time to be alive. That's the very latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
Thank you, Roy. More on those Arquiva Awards after this.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, NewsBoss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
So it was a big night for commercial radio at the Roundhouse in Camden Town last week. Bauer were the big winners, taking home 12 golds, including 3 for Absolute Radio. LBC won 3 golds as well, including UK Station of the Year. And Radio Today was there to cover it all live. So here are some of the highlights from our reporters Lucy Jones and first Stuart Clarkson.
Lisa Kerr is the chair of the Arquiva Commercial Radio Awards. Is it going to be a good night tonight?
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. Amazing new venue and so many great awards. It looks through those doors, you can't believe what's going to happen.
What's the highlight for you going to be? There's a lot of nominations, a lot to get through. You've got bronze and silvers this year as well.
Yeah, I think as a result of that, we've got so many more people coming along. And what I'm really excited about, this is the biggest ever Arquiva Commercial Radio Awards. Having so many people from all over the UK here tonight makes it, it's genuinely for the whole industry.
And a bit of showbiz too. It as well.
Obviously, wouldn't be the Arquivas without showbiz. We like a proper party. I'm really looking forward to it.
And some new hosts. Christian said he wasn't going to do it anymore. Why did you go for Jamie and Emma?
Well, do you know, Christian's done such great service to the industry. He's been a wonderful host, and hoping he's going to be here with us tonight. But Jamie and Emma is a really obvious choice. They're really well known in the industry, really respected, but also known outside the industry, and it gets the right sense of gravitas and importance to the event.
Aston Marigold. That was good, right?
That was amazing. I love the vocals there as well. Lovely stuff.
Thanks, babe. Have you got a favourite radio station?
Do you know what? I am a radio flipper. Like, I'm in the car, and I just that bam, bam, and I'm one of them. I'm honest to God's truth, that's me. I flip between a load, so I'm very impartial. It's probably the wrong person to ask that question to. But yeah.
Aren't you supposed to say that you listen every single evening to your mate, Marvin, on Capital?
I mean, he gets a little shout from time to time. Do you know what I mean? I have to tune in from time to time. But I can't give him all the love. Do you know what I mean? I've been in his pocket for like, what, the last 7 years? Do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Are there a couple of WhatsApps going on saying, hey, mate, wrap me on tonight, will you?
I'm like, well, this is it. I'm like, Marv, you play me now? Can I switch on now? Or what's the crack? He's on in a minute, actually, so I might actually do that, yeah.
Nick Ferrari, LBC Breakfast. Yes. More nominations for awards again. What's going on?
Clearly, I'm sleeping with the right people. Whether they're absolutely the right people, we're about to find out. But they promised me at the time they were.
LBC doing Storm, and it did great here last year at the Arkivas. The year it's had has probably been even better than the year before, hasn't it?
It's been a fantastic year for LBC. I think it's been helped by events. Whether you think about the general election, whether you think about something like the Greek crisis, or even some of the major stories that were developed, such as the Charlie Hebdo shooting. I think LBC is really flexing its muscle.
Do awards mean as much as audience and the reactions you get every morning?
No, of course not. Audience is everything, and the listener is everything. But it's good to show that we are being appreciated by our peers. And it's important to realise that radio is very much a collective group, and you don't achieve anything without the team. Apart from in my case, because my team is absolutely bloody useless, it's like towing a piano across the ice. So any awards we do get is solely down to me.
I've been joined by Kate Thornton. I'm kind of singing everyone in, which is awful, really.
Wonderful. You're straight through to boot camp.
I see what you did there. Hello and congratulations on your new magic venture.
Thank you very much.
That's a little bit exciting.
It's been a lot of fun having a chance to sit and basically delve into people's lives and the songs that soundtrack them. It's been a hoot.
Any presenter that you really love listening to?
Oh, gosh, it depends on your mood, doesn't it? I mean, you can never go wrong with a bit of Terry Wogan in your ear. Yeah.
And if you're angry, get old James O'Brien on.
I love James O'Brien. I think he's an amazing broadcaster. Nick Ferrari, fantastic at breakfast. Chris Evans, a bit of a legend. I always loved Mr. Moyles.
Rumour has it he's about to sign a big deal.
I heard that.
What were we thinking?
I think it would be amazing for XFM to inherit a talent like that. I don't know if it's true, but I hope it is because he's brilliant.
Christian O'Connell, 7 years a host, not this year. What went wrong?
Well, I stopped doing it last year. I'd done it enough and someone else should do it. I loved it, but it's nice being to have a beer tonight and relax a bit. Catch up with some old faces. Who knows, pretty soon we might see some new faces at breakfast.
Moyles, it's going to happen. All the rumours seem quite substantial.
Oh, that's happening, without a doubt, and so it should. Chris is too good not to be back on breakfast. It's like if you're a football team and you think you're good, you should be playing the best football teams.
So does that worry you, having better competition, or does that make you up your game?
Chris did do a breakfast show for 8 years against me, and I think it only makes everyone just try and work a bit harder, and that's a good thing. You know, listeners always have a choice. They still do now. Evans has been at his prime for the last 2 or 3 years. You know, Chris coming in to a very competitive marketplace, you know, I'm sure he's going to do a great show. I was on that show. I had 5 great years on XFM, or when they rename it Capital Rocks.
There's not many places Moyles could go. The other would be Absolute Breakfast. You're glad that he hasn't got that?
Well, it's kind of my show, so he's had to find another one.
Now I'm here with Mylene Klass, and she looks stunning. What colour are we calling this, Mylene?
It's not pink.
Cerise raspberry.
Raspberry.
Yes. So smooth and Classic FM. You sound incredible on it. Are you loving it as much as you sound like you're loving it?
I've been doing Classic FM for 10 years, so a decade on the radio has been phenomenal. And smooth is phenomenal in its own different way. So I get to play Mozart at the weekends and a bit of Madonna.
Is it different playing the classic stuff to then going and getting a bit of pop in your life?
No, because I think it's funny because people always say if you could choose a genre, it's like if you had to choose a food for the rest of your life, it doesn't work that way. I think, you know,
probably chocolate.
Yeah, but then what would you do if you then couldn't have macaroni cheese?
You'd have a horrible fight in your hands, wouldn't you?
Already it's causing a problem. So it's wonderful that I haven't necessarily had to choose. I get to indulge in both of my passions, Mozart and Madonna.
Hello, I'm Steve.
And I'm Karen.
And we do the Breakfast Show on Metro Radio. And tonight we're at the Arkiva Awards, and we're really, really honoured to be here because we're hoping to win Best Presenter, and if we do win, it'll be the third year on the trot that we win it, Karen.
We're going for the hat trick, but as Newcastle, we're not normally that lucky in football, so we doubt it. And if it's not us, go Brian Moore.
And the competition's a bit easier because, like at the Radio Academy Awards, you've got the BBC to compete with. It's just commercial radio. That's easy.
That's actually more difficult, because I'd say if you take the BBC out of the equation, you've got the real talent left.
I like it, Karen. Well said.
And how long have you been on Metro now? 3 years, is it?
It's 3 years, and it has gone so quick, Karen, hasn't it? 3 years has just gone the quickest, I think, in my career. I don't know about you, Karen.
Absolutely. I mean, we started the show together in 2001. Our third year at Metro and TFM this year, and actually our most successful 3 years in the industry. So let's hope we need to widen the award cabinet tonight, but we're not that hopeful.
I'm touching wood. Can I touch your head? That'll do.
Claire Sweeney's here, looking utterly beautiful.
Thank you very much.
You're really channeling summer, babe. I mean, every colour there is in the whole spectrum of colour is in your dress.
Like an explosion of paint, aren't I? I love radio, and I've just started working in radio as well, and it's brilliant. I'm absolutely loving it.
How does it vary from being on set?
Well, it's freer. I like the freedom. I started, for me, I stepped in for a DJ in Liverpool called Pete Price, who's a bit of a legend up there, and he does a four-hour talk show. And I stepped in for him years ago, and I really, really enjoyed it. Just did a few days for him. And then the dream was always to do a musical theatre show, because I listened to EP on Radio 2. And then it came about with magic. So, you know, to me, it's just been kind of a dream job, really.
Yeah. What's your guilty pleasure radio style? Has it always been magic, or do you listen to another station?
I've been a fan of Radio 2 and magic. Sunday night, probably shouldn't say this with magic, but Sunday nights on Radio 2, I love. You've got Maura Stewart, you start with Paul O'Grady at tea time, it's great. I'll tell you, when I first started listening to magic, I was doing Holby City, and they had it on in the prosthetics room. I was getting a boil put under my arm, right? And this bloody boil took about 4 hours to put on, and they had great music play, and I said, what's this? He said it was magic, and I'd listen to magic, and I thought, that's bloody brilliant, that.
I'm with Tony Blackburn. You're not nominated tonight for a change.
No, I'm just here with KMFM. The station I work, one of the stations I work for.
You still do one commercial radio show?
No, I do what is it called now, the Greatest Hits. Used to be called Magic, and I do that for the North and Scotland, yes. I've always, ever since the word go, I've always tried to have three different jobs. So you get sacked from one, and you've still got a few jobs left, you know? And when you work for six, nobody quite knows where you are, so you never get sacked, because they can't find you.
And the big question is the money better in commercial radio or the BBC? Everybody thinks it's the BBC. I guess that's probably right, isn't it?
Possibly. Yeah. I don't know, Ray. It depends. I'm not actually...
You do know right, though.
To be honest with you, commercial radio doesn't pay me anything because I'm sponsored. So I'm sponsored by P&O Ferries, so commercial radio gets me free of charge anyway, in a strange sort of way.
Does a deal work with that? I mean, why aren't other people doing that? Chris Tarrant did it, I think, with Nissan a few years ago, didn't he? But why are there not more presenters getting their own sponsors?
I've got no idea. You know, I hope they don't cotton on to it. I'm very lucky. My son works in the advertising business. He works for Mindshare, and he got me the sponsorship. So, you know, all the money I spent on him when he was a kid, I've got it all back again now.
I've been joined by Louis Spence. Louis Spence, darling. Do you ever fancy yourself on the radio, babes?
Yeah, I think I've got a voice for radio, don't you?
I mean, you're very distinctive.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think I'd be quite good on radio myself. I've always got something to say about something and someone.
Yeah.
I'd never be stuck for words. I like a good tune, from musical theatre right through to pop and commercial. You could stick me anywhere. Yeah, I think I should have a show, thanks.
Who do you want to work for? What station?
Well, do you know, I don't suppose it'd really matter what station. It'd be the content. You know, I could work for any station and make them popular because, you know, I'd have the content. I'd have good content.
But on the radio, you can't see splits.
No, but darling, you can hear them. You can feel it. Honestly, I'd give you the splits and you would know I was doing the splits. You would feel it.
Journalist of the Year is Tom Swarbrick from LBC.
I got nominated last year, so it's wonderful to win it this year. I've been given a lot of freedom to pursue slight passion projects by LBC. They've been incredibly kind. I think it's just being relaxed on air. I think people have a certain style when they think of the news. They think of certain people doing it certain ways. And I wonder whether that can be not challenged, but just done in a different way, using different language with a sort of warmth, perhaps, that isn't just your sort of read the script, move away kind of thing.
The Arkiva single programme or broadcast of the year is the Clark Carlisle story from Absolute Radio.
It's just amazing. You know, you never think that your personal experience will be received in such a way, and it's amazing. I'm honoured because Paul Sylvester, Rob Jones and John Champion, the three between them, you know, they created that environment to be able to do a piece of work like this, and hopefully broadcasting it has helped someone else.
And radio as a medium is more powerful than most other you can think of to convey something like this.
It's incredibly powerful, you know, because you're so in images, but it's up to the individual, you know, to actually create their own visuals for that, and that can be a phenomenally powerful tool. No two listeners will have the same images in their head, and that's what makes it so unique to the individual. But like I said, when you've got the team around you that we've got at Absolute, you know, the professionalism that they've got and the joy that it is to work with them, then it makes it quite easy.
Really well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Feature of the year.
Lady Week from Heart Sussex.
Jack and myself, thanks to Nicola, were put through our paces, essentially experiencing what being a lady would be like.
Tom essentially gave birth live on air in the studio, and we attached him to a birthing simulator.
and he basically spent the whole time passing wind.
Guys, how can you top this moment?
Well, I don't know. We've just got to keep working hard, really, and try and come back next year under another category, win another award. It's just such a great feeling right now.
News coverage of the year.
It's Bob FM Hertfordshire's news team.
We never expected this. We were sat right at the back of the room. We thought, no, the odds are against us on this. Not afraid to say this. The quality of the news that we put out on such a small radio station is obviously top-notch.
Programmer of the year, Andy Roberts from KISS.
Jeez, this is a real honour. I think, you know, I have a great team that I work with every day, and we just work hard, and, you know, this is a real kind of testament to their hard work as well. So I'm completely grateful, totally, but this is really about my team and what we do day by day.
And as you came off stage, you were given a radio in which you said, I've not got one of these. I mean, what?
I don't actually have a DAB radio at home. And so this is my first DAB radio. I just don't. So thank you very much. I could not get one from work. So
you can have history coming out of your ears now.
Yeah, it's good. I can, you know, not that I don't listen to stuff. I listen to stuff on other platforms in other ways, but it's nice to have a DAB radio.
Specialist Programme of the Year.
Russ Williams, Best Specialist Music Programme, Rock and Roll Football, Absolute Radio.
Did you ever think you'd win an award in your career for a specialist programme?
No, not really. Well, actually once, for Interview of the Year with Roger Waters, but I didn't win that, and I'm more than happy with the rest of our team to win this. It means a lot. We've done it for 5 years, and to be recognised by our peers is great.
Congratulations to the unsung hero of the year. It's Pat Broome for Smooth Northwest.
I'm Auntie Pat. I've looked after people in radio from 1975 to 2015.
You did 25 years at Piccadilly and Key, 15 at Laser House.
I've tried to look after everybody who came through the doors, whether they were famous, not famous, coming for an interview, putting them at ease, you know, like you do.
And who's the most famous person who's ever come through the door when you've been on reception?
Goodness, it's probably easier to tell you the people I haven't met. I've met people like, looked after people like Charlton Heston, Joan Collins, and my hero, Don McLean.
The radio presenters, there's people like Steve Penk and Chris Evans who've been through the door.
Lovely Chris Evans, yes, yes. He was one of my favourites. Always a naughty boy, but he was one of my favourites, I must admit.
Innovation of the Year.
Hello, I'm Bex from Fun Kids. We've won Innovation of the Year. Amazing.
Well, we work with Bin Weevils to create a radio inside a game for children so that they could enjoy Fun Kids, but within the game environment that they were familiar with, and hopefully it was a lot of fun, and we had fun making it, and we're just really thrilled that it's got the award tonight.
There's one award and there's quite a few of you, so are we going to smash it, or what are we going to do with it?
I think we'll just get a really sharp knife and see if we can cut this up.
Parts, right?
How can you top this, guys?
Station of the Year next year.
I thought you were going to say we'll just get drunk, but yeah, that's...
The Marketing Award.
It's girl band The Piccadillys from Key 103.
It just made for such great, compelling radio, you know, to be able to put a girl band together in Manchester. We pinned it on the fact that the last great music pop act, I suppose, to come out of Manchester was Take That. So to be able to put a girl band together, have all the girls queuing outside our studios to do the open auditions, it was just awesome. And then to have them spreading the word about Key 103 as well.
The Arkiva Social Action Initiative Award goes to Cycle for Life Challenge from Viking FM.
This is absolutely fantastic because it really shows how much commercial radio can actually contribute to the community. From a business point of view, it's been brilliant because we actually were able to combine the commercial side of the business with the programming side and produce something that was really, really good. And it inspired 10,000 kids in the East Riding of Yorkshire to actually go cycling.
Breakfast Show of the Year with a TSA under 2 million.
It's Big John at breakfast from Hallam FM.
We won the hell out of it, and it's absolutely lovely. We've been doing the show for 15 years.
You've won quite a few times as well. What's the secret to being so blinking good?
I have absolutely no idea. I genuinely don't. We just keep our heads down and enjoy what we do and have a bit of a giggle in the morning. And it's all James, my producer's...
He's absolutely right. It's all down to me. Thank you very much.
The Arkiva Presenters of the Year under 2 million, 106 Jack FM Oxfordshire's Trev and Caroline.
Winners!
Trev, how many blooming awards have you got, mate?
There's a few that I'm really proud of, but actually this is one of the proudest because it's such a team effort, and I'm very proud to stand in front of your peers. And to get an award like that, a breakfast show, is just amazing. I'm so, so pleased with this. Brilliant.
Presenter of the Year with a TSA over 2 million.
Nick Ferrari from LBC.
This
is LBC.
My heart's still missing a beat. I'm so excited. I mean, absolutely blown away. Had a great night already with a couple of silvers, but let's be candid, it's lovely to win.
What's the secret then to making such good radio, Nick?
Make a show that appeals to yourself, I think. Make it something that you'd want to listen to. And if you want to get a lot from the audience, you have to give a little of yourself. So I always share a little bit and I get a hell of a lot. And this is for the audience and the callers and everyone else. And for a guy called Nick Clegg and Boris Johnson and Nigel Farage, who've played their role as well. So thanks to those politicians. Two of whom are still in work.
Arkiva's Station of the Year, under 500,000. Radio Borders!
Over the last few years, we've had one nomination, and it was Gregor's nomination a couple of years ago for Newcomer of the Year. And this year, we've got three nominations, and we've got three awards, which is amazing.
And tough competition as well to be up against.
Unbelievable, and because we're such a small station, it's just, you can probably tell in our voices how much of a buzz this is. I can't believe it. So good, so good.
Arkiva's Mid-Sized Station of the Year, Metro Radio!
I'm really just pleased for the whole team at Metro Radio and my colleague Tom Haynes, who's the regional content director now for the North East. We've done this together, so it's fantastic as I kind of leave Metro and move on. That we kind of leave on this sort of high.
The Arkiva Station of the Year goes to the fabulous LBC.
I'm learning the difference between speech radio, which I've done forever, and talk radio, because there are big differences between the two.
And that big difference is kind of a bit more of a freedom to have your own opinion, is it?
Freedom to have your opinion. I'm not a great fan of just, you know, endlessly giving your opinion for the sake of it. I think you should feel passionate about something you choose to be passionate about. Do you see what I mean? Rather than just say it, because that's what talk radio hosts do. It was actually my main reservation about the job, which I talked through with James. And he just said, look, leave it to one side, don't worry about it. The more comfortable you get with talk radio, the more you will just be you on the radio. And in a sense, for very good reasons, on the BBC, you have to leave a bit of that at the door. So I'm still learning that process of shedding a few skins and just getting out there and doing it.
Well done, LBC.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing to do with me. Must reiterate. Early days.
The Arkiva Gold Award.
He's won more Radio Academy Awards than anyone else and also has the biggest collection of Arkiva Awards than any other presenter, although that could be because he hosted this award for 7 years and he nicked them.
The winner of this year's Arkiva Gold Award, Christian O'Connell.
Love doing radio. It's the best job in the world. Thank you very much for this. A little bit too young at 42, but there you go. Thank you. Well done also to these guys tonight. It's a tough gig up here. Well done. And fingers crossed, is Chris Moyles hosting it next year, right? I've all heard the rumours. Classic FM. The saviour is back.
Some of the awards I've given to the kids, and I don't even know where they are. And I saw one of them, the dog, eating it. So, but no, this means a lot.
Don't let the dog have that one. It'll kill it.
It's huge. Thanks,
mate. Well done.
Cheers.
There's more from the Arkivas on the Radio Today website, including Gasp Video. I wonder if you feel as I do that the growth of the Commercial Radio Awards is now a big challenge to the newly revamped Radio Academy. Will they be able to find a new sponsor for the Pan Industry Awards? Is there any appetite within the commercial groups to share the limelight with the BBC? And has the Academy, as is rumoured, actually approached Arkiva to sponsor the former Sonys? Intriguing stuff. How about some radio moments now? Here's David Lloyd.
100 years of radio. Radio moments.
Magic is currently London's most listened to commercial radio station, and it's exactly 25 years since that brand name first appeared on British radio.
So that's the song that starts Magic 828. It's the Beatles and Magical Mystery Tour. We've just popped the champagne cork. The smell is delicious. And the boss is covered at the moment. We'll get him a towel in a second. The brand new radio station that you're going to love over the months and weeks ahead is here. Magic 828.
Magic was my name. I'd been hired to go to Radio Air. And one of the things I had to do was to launch the new AM service. And Magic was a name that had stuck with me from my time a few years previously in the States. It's a really great brand name for a radio station, and it wasn't being used anywhere else. And I thought, yeah, that will do up here.
Phil Riley had the birth of Magic 828, the first ever station under the Magic name, albeit it was an oldies format back then. Magic was born in Leeds as Radio Air split frequencies, spawning Air FM and Magic 828. 30 years ago this week, on a long, hot summer's day in 85, Live Aid was beamed across the world on TV and radio.
It was a magnificent, wonderful day. The weather was perfect, and technically it all went pretty well until we got to the end of the afternoon, when Paul McCartney's microphone didn't work. But apart from that, I mean, it was a huge achievement, and Radio 1 was doing the sound that was fed to television and networks all around the world.
It's 12 noon in London, 7 a.m. in Philadelphia, and around the world, it's time for Live Aid. Wembley welcomes their Royal Highnesses, the Prince and Princess of Wales.
Richard Skinner had the link you'd never want to mess up, would you? It's 41 years now since Newcastle got its commercial radio station at last. And here's a clean feed recording of the seconds just before launch.
So you're on the air in 35 seconds. Roger. Mm-hmm. 1 minute right. Slow, mate, OK?
Right, so we go straight from the actual opening to the tape, right? That tape is queued up, that is tape is not queued up. I only need one cart. The tape's ready to go, is it?
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. This is Metro Radio, 261 metres in the medium wave band, and 97 VHF. The time is 6 o'clock, and to officially open the station, here is the managing director, Mr. Bruce Lewis.
Yes, all that preparation, all those people, and they still played the tape at the wrong speed. The arrival of Metro this week in 1974.
It is 6 a.m. on Monday, the 15th of July, 1974. This is Bruce Lewis saying welcome to Metropolitan Broadcasting.
Metro's first newsreader duly identified himself.
Metro News at 6:05 with Simon Neave.
As indeed do most newsreaders.
This is Howard Philpott.
BBC News at 6 o'clock. This is Corrie Caulfield.
This is Neil Sleet.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is Susan Ray.
1 o'clock, I'm Stuart Paley.
Bill Bingham reporting.
This is Stephen Harris reporting.
This is Ken Guy with LBC News.
And here's Richard Hemingway with Piccadilly News.
BBC News at 1 o'clock, this is Tom Sanders.
This is Peter Donaldson.
That trend of saying, it's me reporting, has been around since this week in 1940. It began in wartime when they said listeners must be able to recognise instantly the authentic voice of BBC Broadcasting. The first chap to do that was Frank Phillips.
Yesterday, we broadcast a reminder on the proper way to take care of the gas masks that have been distributed and a warning against such strange misuses as testing the masks in gas ovens and by the exhaust pipes of motor cars. The government respirators are not designed to give any protection against ordinary domestic gas which would not be used in war.
Frank Phillips, the first newsreader to say his own name this week in 1940. And it was also on the edge of wartime that this famous comedy series began.
Ladies and gentlemen, we don't care what he's been, we don't care what he's done. All we know is that we are happy to welcome that man again.
His 101st appearance finds this sprightly centenarian as full as ever of beans, bat chat and bonhomie.
Yes, it's that man again, first aired this week in 1939, a comedy which helped us through the war. Four episodes were commissioned. It went on to run for 9 years.
Can I do your nails, sir?
Douglas Stewart was the first presenter of Radio 4's The World Tonight. He died this week 2 years ago. Here he reflects on how interviewing has changed over the years.
They're much more argumentative. And they make, I think, great mistake in asking three questions rolled into one. And that enables the man to pick whichever of the three questions he wants to answer. They don't think enough about getting the man to hang himself.
Douglas Stewart, who died this week in 2013. So, with the new Radio 2 logo airing 3 years ago...
Are you ready?
Whoa! Beacon launching in Shropshire 28 years ago...
Beacon Shropshire, your only 24 hours a day local radio station.
The World Service broadcasting for the last time from Bush House 3 years ago...
Its corridors deserted,
its studios empty.
Gwyneth Williams appointed controller of Radio 4 5 years ago.
The cuts that I've had to take on Radio 4 are taking place over a five-year period.
Radio Pembrokeshire launching 13 years ago.
At last, our county has its own local radio station.
And the sign outside the Independent Television Authority changing to say IBA 43 years ago.
The Independent Broadcasting Authority is at 70 Brompton Road, London SW3 1EY.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Special thanks also this week to Stu Clarkson for putting together the Arkiva report and to Siobhan Kenny at Radio Centre. Do have a look at their new policy document. It's refreshingly clear and readable. You can download it from their site. This has been a TDC production. Next time, more on how modern radio studios are designed from one of this country's foremost acoustic engineers. I'll see you then. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.